It's always interesting to see who likes sitting on the sides. And I asked the seniors the other day, because I came in here and there was like one person in the middle and everybody else was on the side. And so I was intrigued by that. And the only answer I got was some people said they felt comforted having a wall next to them.
I prefer the middle.
Sit in the middle.
No.
Is there another reason that the sides are preferred? It's the exact same thing in our staff meetings. I'll walk in, it'll be one person in the middle. Usually the ladies sit over here, men sit over here, even though we don't have a men's side and a women's side. It's just interesting why people sit where they do.
Well, one thing I would say is you can see the board, you can see that, and you can see the teacher, and it's just like a different angle.
Okay. Now, some people did say that if they're short, it helps to sit over on the side. But I don't know. We've got some pretty tall people. Yeah. Okay. In case there's a fire, you can get out first. And it's interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay, everybody listen, I think we're going to hear some great wisdom coming here next.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
It's just
once the
leftists over there.
Leftists. Okay. Well, it's just interesting. One of those phenomenons that you wonder about. It doesn't really matter to me. Usually it's whatever is open when I come in. That's kind of where I land. But as I told you, when I was in junior high, and mainly in junior high, my preference was the back because my parents couldn't see me when I was sitting in the back. They couldn't see me goofing around. So, yeah. Well, hey, I was looking at how much time we have before the end of the semester. And it's closing in fast. And I'll just say this, that chapter 13 is due on Tuesday. Okay? On Tuesday. And that's the last one. We're going to clip along as we go through some of these things, and we'll see how we end up. Right now, I haven't scheduled a class for next week where people can use chapel for their classes. Some classes need that, some don't. I don't know about this one yet, but we'll see. I don't think so. But we're going to just continue on page 42 about longevity in youth ministry. And so we're going to pray and we're going to get right at it so we can get through as much as we possibly can today. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help the things that we go through today to really be fixed in our minds. Father, so often when we're having problems in a ministry, there's a temptation to run. And Lord God, I pray that we would not do that. I pray that we would stay right where you have us until you move us on. And Lord, we know that there are problems everywhere we go. But Father, help us to handle the problems in your power and strength and in your encouragement. Father, we just pray that we would have a great time today looking at this topic and some other topics as well. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit would really work in our hearts and minds today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, hey, we have been looking at why youth workers leave their ministry. We talked about finances, wanting change, discouragement, losing enthusiasm. Those are not good reasons to leave. The last one was something better comes along. Better. In quotes. Whether it is a bigger paycheck, maybe some people think a bigger church is better. I don't. I think wherever God wants us to be, that's the best place to be. And we just faithfully serve Him there until He does move us along. But we don't just leave because, oh, I have this opportunity. That sounds fun. I'll do it. It really needs to be where the Lord wants us. Reasons to hang in there, God has called you to those kids or to other people. He's called us to a congregation, to a ministry. Maybe it's a whatever it might be, but again, you guys, we should stay until God moves us. Stay until He moves us. I came across this article, I thought it was pretty good. It says, it was written by a youth minister, and the letter goes like this. I quit youth ministry yesterday. I got tired of hearing how I needed to make sure those young people behave during the worship services like I am the church bouncer. I got tired of parents who don't live Christian lifestyles and expect me to mold their kids in the few hours a week we have with them. And when the kids give up, the fault is the youth ministry not being deep enough. I got tired of those kids who play the game of being spiritual, but then live like they've never heard of Jesus. I got tired of people who have complaints, but instead of going to those with whom they have a beef, they make phone calls to gripe to dozens of other people in the congregation. I got tired of people who do not spend personal time with the Lord by their own admission, but they think they should run the church. I got tired of people who keep asking, when am I going to pastor my own church and become a real minister? I got tired of people who think youth workers can't be trusted and need constant supervision. I got tired of people asking, what do you do all day when the kids are in school? I got tired of all the times that I failed and felt so inadequate to do this job. Bottom line, I just got tired of being tired. However, I was smart enough not to tell anyone that I quit. I went home, spent some time with my family, and did not burden them with my quitting. Spent some time in prayer and got a good night's sleep, and I'm back on the job today. I have read Ephesians 6:13, and I am steadfast that I will still remain standing and not quit. Those same people who I was tired of yesterday are still in my life, but somehow God has given me the grace to love them today. I'm grateful for having the best job in the world. The opportunity to be used of God as a conduit for His grace to influence young lives. I am so glad that when I quit on God yesterday, that He refused to quit on me. Today, I'm making a commitment to last because what God has called me to do is too important to quit. Too important to quit. Hang in there because of God's calling. B, just so you know, effectiveness increases with longevity. The longer you're with a ministry, the more they get to know you, the more they get to trust you, the more that they can grow in their walk with the Lord. And it's interesting, there's some surveys that say some of the most effective years of ministry begin in the sixth or seventh year. When I was youth pastoring at Santa Rosa Bible Church, I really felt like after 4 years, we were just really gaining some really good traction. Effectiveness increases with longevity. See, God is responsible for the results. Not you, not me. So when you want to quit because you're not seeing the fruit that you'd really like to see, trust God with that. He's the one that is responsible for the fruit, not us. D, problems are everywhere. We mentioned that the other day. If we leave because of a problem, we'll just step into another problem somewhere else. And E, young people are not stepping stones. They're not stepping stones. Sometimes you'll hear a youth pastor say, you know, I want to be a youth pastor for a year or two, and then I want to become a pastor. You know, when I get some experience and make a lot of mistakes and get some mistakes out of the way, well, no. You know, we need to be where God wants us until He moves us somewhere else. I told you, the average tenure at a church for a youth ministry is 2 years. Can you imagine a church losing their pastor every 2 years? Imagine what that would be like. Stay until the Lord leads you on. When do we leave a ministry? When it's God's will. When it's God's will. And you want to do it in a good way. Let's just say there is an issue that's a non-negotiable, and you believe that God is wanting you to leave a ministry because there are some problems that you just can't get past. If that should ever happen, leave in a Christ-like way. I know a youth minister that started butting heads with the elder board of the church. He didn't want to do what the elder board was asking him to do. And it kept getting worse and worse. And when this youth pastor left, he left a real bad stink behind. So he was a graduate of Frontier School of the Bible. That church doesn't exist today. That youth pastor did so much harm, created such a split within the church that the church doesn't even exist. Listen, if he felt he needed to leave, he should have done it very quietly. You don't want to harm God's church. Now let me just say, one thing I do appreciate about this graduate, he went back and sought to make things right with the people that he wronged. And I thank a lot of him for that. The Holy Spirit of God convicted him for what he had done, and he did everything in his power to try to make amends. Even though the church doesn't exist, He still wanted to do whatever he could. Anyway, any questions or thoughts on this? I just kind of threw this in at the end of our notes. Anybody? Yeah.
What would you say is one of the keys that you personally have applied in your life to stay in the ministry, not burn out?
I would say you have to look at what causes burnout. Okay? With our problems, we have to trust God with our problems. And you can't be sensitive to every little thing that happens. You have to ask God to give you kind of a thick skin. When you are in a leadership position, you're going to be criticized. It's going to happen, you guys. And when it happens, you have to handle it biblically. You guys just did a paper on criticism. There's some great wisdom in that paper. We're gonna look at that. But that's one of the reasons that some people burn out is because of criticism. And listen, you have to let God be your defender. And you have to look to God when you're going through times where people are criticizing or attacking or making false accusations. Let me just say, in the 27 years of ministry here, I have found it to be true what my dad told me when I came here. He said, just so you know, you're always going to have a student that's upset. You're always going to have an alumnus that's upset. You're always going to have a parent, maybe, that is upset. Or maybe it's a faculty or staff member that's upset. He said, you just need to know that going in. And then every time you have something like that, you seek to deal with it. With God's help, and many times you can work your way through those things. Sometimes you've just got to leave it with the Lord and just say, you know, I've done everything I can possibly do with this, and I'm going to entrust God with this from this point. And I think that's part of it. And of course, burnout in ministry, you did a section on that too. And so you have to be balanced. There's going to be times where things are hectic in Michigan. There's times, I don't even know why, there's another word I was going to say. There's times where things are going to be hectic and require stamina. But that's where God can help you with that as well. You have to be balanced with ministry, with family, all those different things. But one of the things that it's been kind of interesting to read from our summer camping teams, where some of them will say, I was so tired. And I asked God to give me the strength to keep pressing on with my cabin. And he did. And he did. And so looking to God with the criticisms, with the hectic nature that sometimes you can have in ministry, I really believe if we depart from the Word of God, when we depart from spending time with God, that relationship aspect of our Christian life, you can get pretty discouraged. We have to be in the Word. In the book of Psalms, it says, if it were not for your Word, I would have perished in my affliction. You know, our theme, that's what this is all about. And I've seen graduates that have dropped out of ministry, burned out, whatever you want to call it. And usually it goes back to that relationship with Christ. That is not what it should be. So that's how I would answer that. Anybody else? All right. Let's go to page 24, is it? 29. Here's a little bit more on resolving conflicts. Some of you maybe are having a conflict even today with somebody. Maybe it's an instructor, maybe it's a staff person, maybe it's your roommate, maybe it is just somebody else here at school, maybe it's at your job or whatever. But I just want to say, in ministry, you do have conflicts. Now there's some things, this is from a youth worker named Duffy Robbins. There's some things that he did not have when he discussed this. And I'm just going to say that conflict is part of ministry. It's how we respond to it that's important. How we respond to conflict is what's important. It's going to happen. How many of you have had conflict this school year thus far? Okay, at least half of you. One thing that I would encourage you with is to pray before dealing with it. Pray, this isn't in your notes, pray before dealing with it. You know, that many times can lead to the whole thing getting resolved before you even have to deal with it. Sometimes when we just commit it to prayer, we see God take care of things without even dealing with it. Now, in saying that, I also want to say is don't ignore problems. Don't ignore problems. That is a typical response to conflict. Now, some of you can't stand it. If there's a problem between you and another person, you want to deal with it right now. You want it over with. How many of you are that way? Okay? How many of you are the other way? You'd rather ignore it and hope it goes away. Okay? So we've got that side of things. And by the way, this is interesting. We're going to talk about this in Christian family. Because that plays out in marriage too. You can have people that they handle conflict differently, and each way can create problems. So don't ignore problems, but it has to be dealt with in love. That's you should underline that. It needs to be dealt with in love. Sometimes some of you that you can't stand to be at odds with somebody else, there's conflict, and you want to deal with it immediately, but sometimes you don't jump into it with a lot of graciousness. It's just, okay, we have this and this, let's deal with this. You know. And we might not do it in a very loving way. If we enter into conflict with anger and things like that, that can really affect how the whole resolution comes about, how it's entered into. One other thing, be a leader in solving conflict. Be a leader. We'll talk about this in Christian family. What if you have a husband and wife, they've had some kind of a disagreement, and then you go to bed. And you're both laying there. You're both upset. Nobody's saying anything. Neither is hardly moving. And you can feel the wall there. And sometimes one person's thinking, I didn't start this. They started this. I'm going to wait for them to take the first step. And the other person's thinking the exact same thing. And nobody is stepping up to help solve the problem. And usually, it can be solved with two words. Close.
I'm sorry.
I saw the shortest argument in history solved by husband and a wife saying they were sorry. So before Cheryl and I were married, we were playing Uno with this married couple. The girls, it was guys against the girls, which can always lead to some competitiveness. The girls were slaughtering us. Cheryl and I have a rule not to rub it in. We're both very competitive. And so we have this rule. We know what'll happen if we start to rub it in. The other person's our flesh is going to rise to the surface. This couple did not have that rule. And she kept rubbing it in. And we finished the hand. They just gave us a ton of points. And she leaned over and said, kiss, kiss. I saw him look down at his glass of water. And I thought, don't do it. And he did it. And they both jumped up from the table and yelled, I'm sorry, at the same time. And they sat down, and it was over. It's like, what did we just witness here? But take the initiative. Our flesh says, don't do it. Our flesh says, they're the ones that did such and such, and so they need to be the initiator of fixing this. Well, I'm just saying it's important in marriage, but it's important in ministry. Now, I'm sure there were times where he really prayed about it, but I remember sitting in our staff meetings at Santa Rosa Bible Church, and we would hear about a problem, some conflict within the church. 9 times out of 10, our senior pastor would call right while we were in the meeting. He couldn't stand it. He wanted to get this resolved as quickly as possible. And so these are just some things. As we look at conflict, I think prayer is a great way of dealing with it. But not ignoring it is important. Dealing with it in love is important. And being a leader to help resolve it, I think, is very, very important. There's times where those awkward times you're laying there in bed and Cheryl will go, I'm sorry. Then I'm feeling guilty because I'm thinking, okay, I should have been the one to initiate that. You know? Well, I'm sorry too. And anyway, here's some ideas on solving conflicts. There's 4 types of conflicts. Number 1, when parties have different information. Well, the solution is kind of obvious. You postpone further discussion until you have accurate information. There's been times here at Frontier when we've had conflict, sometimes it's been between students. And you hear different people, say this about the other person. And there's been times it's taken like a week to go to all the people that were involved, find out what really happened, what was said, to get all the information, and then you can sit down and resolve it. One time there is a problem between two FSB students, and part of getting the information was I wanted to talk to both of them. And so they came to my office. What are you upset about? Well, this happened and this happened. And the other person said, well, no. That's not what I meant. Or that's not what I did. And then they explained how it really played out. Oh, well, I didn't know that. And each one of them had gone off of hearsay and different pieces of information. And when we were able to get all the information, then it got resolved. Before they left my office, they were hugging. You have to get accurate information. And sometimes that's what's going on with situations. People have misread things. They've heard things wrong. They don't know the whole story. And so you once you get all that, many times it can be resolved. Two, when there's a disagreement on how to approach a situation. Here's what happened. Santa Rosa Bible Church. True story. Somebody gave the church enough money to build a beautiful gymnasium. It was a family that had their grandkids in our Christian school. They just said, we want the school to have a nice gym. It was probably the nicest high school gymnasium in Northern California. It was beautiful. The church owns the property that the school uses. And so this is going to become part of the church's property. Now, this is really exciting for the school. But it was also really exciting for the church. Why do you think it was exciting for the church? Okay. Going along with that, I guess I would say they decided to start these basketball leagues at the church, which became a really great outreach in the church. What else might you want to use something like that for? Clubs. Awana Club. They had several hundred kids in their Awana program. They're all excited. This is a phenomenal Awana facility. The school is. This is a beautiful gym for volleyball and basketball. This is incredible. Can you see where some conflict could happen with that? Where? Okay, that's one of the pieces of conflict. What about, that worked out, by the way. Because Awana was on Wednesday nights, and it worked game-wise. Typically Tuesdays and Fridays or Saturdays is when the games were for the school. So that worked itself out. What else? Okay. They knew that it belonged to the church. Okay. It was their property. Yet it was apparent of one of the grandparent, one of the students that gave it. Can you see another difficulty?
That doesn't work very good. Not much better, but a little bit better.
A lot of circles. Here is this beautiful gymnasium. And by the way, there's lines for volleyball. There's lines for side courts. Doesn't that look hideous? So,
a lot of the people that, you know, were associated with the school went to our church. And the people from the school side of things said, you cannot put Awana circles all over this beautiful gym floor. You can't do that. One, it's going to look ugly. This is the nicest gymnasium here in Northern California. It's going to be confusing, all those lines everywhere. But the aesthetics of it are going to be awful. She says, well, you know, this is an answer for our Awana programs, and we need to be able to use it for the school and the church. Both sides were really a little upset with this whole thing. So they got committees together to find a solution that everybody could be happy with. Each side had to compromise. And that, by the way, part of the solution, when there's disagreement on how to approach a situation, there's times where we can compromise. There's times where we can give in, you know, where it's not a big deal. Let's not split our church over lines. So they came up with a solution. Every side compromised. What they did was this. They had retractable bleachers. For Wednesday nights, they moved the bleachers all the way back. And by doing that, they could move the Awana circles to the very edges. There's enough room to get them in right along here. And so it wasn't out on the main part of the gym floor. And everybody was happy. They worked it out. Each gave in a little bit. And I think some of them also, as they prayed, they realized, you know, this is not a huge deal. It's certainly not something to split a church over. And anyway, number three, when you can't agree on goals or philosophy, solution is skill and patience. I may have shared this with you. If I did, you can stop me. But my brother-in-law, Bill Bagley Sr., he was in a church where he wanted to start a children's ministry. It was a dying church. It's made up mainly of elderly people, And so my brother-in-law thought, you know, starting a children's ministry would really be great here. And he brought it to the board of elders, and they said, we don't think that's such a great idea. Now, I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't go, well, hey, you people are just all going to die off, and if that's the way you want to be, I'm out of here. No. He shared with them the whys, and then he waited, and he prayed. And he prayed, God, if you want us to start a children's ministry in this church, put it on the heart of each board member. A year later, in a board meeting, one of the board members said, can I just share an idea that I have? What do you guys think about starting a children's ministry here at our church? And every board member said, we think that's a great idea. What did it take? Patience. Allowing God to work in their hearts and in their minds. He handled it skillfully. He handled it graciously. He didn't get mad and throw a fit. And over time, they began to see that it was a good goal. And some of their philosophy in the church, as he was in there after a while, and they got to trust him and so on, they started to catch his vision for things. So, skill and patience. Skill and patience. Four, you can't agree on values. Can't agree on values. Solution, very difficult. Very difficult. See, there are certain things within different ministries that would be a non-negotiable with me. There's a lot of things that are negotiable, you know, that are not huge, huge issues, but there are some things that are non-negotiable. For instance, the youth sponsor that I had, that I told you, told the kids, as long as you don't go all the way, it's okay. Well, that's a value that was not going to work in our youth program. And I did pray about this, and she resigned shortly after this happened. But that's a pretty difficult one. And you guys, when you choose let's just say you go off into a ministry position, you want to be sure that you can be part of that ministry. That there's not values that are deal breakers stepping in. Some of you that say, you know, I'm thinking God wants me to be a youth pastor. Well, if you go and interview at a church, you need to ask a lot of questions. Well, what about this? What about this? What do you feel about this? And to make sure that your values go hand in hand. I would say doctrinal position as well. That's part of the value. A value that I think is important. And so that's something to really think about. If you join a mission, if you are going to go pastor a church, where are they on this and this and this and so on? Now here's some principles when there aren't any obvious alternatives. Number one, it's called the win-win principle. The win-win principle. The Christian school got part of what they wanted. Most of the court had none of the Awana circles on it. The church
got what they wanted. They got their Awana circles.
And so they came up with a solution that made everybody a winner. That's a good solution, by the way. That's where it helps people to be happy about it. And so you look for a solution where that can happen. How could both parties come out a winner in this? Two, the principle of involvement. Letting both parties work on prayerfully coming up with a solution. If you've been able to be involved with the solution, are you going to be more likely to back it? Yes. If the church had just come in and said, you know what, it's our property, we're going to put all those Awana circles out there, you just need to get used to it. They didn't do that. They said, let's talk about it. Let's try to find a solution that will make everyone happy. And so they discussed it together. They had involvement and they both backed it. Number three is the nip it quick principle. Typically, the sooner you can deal with the conflict, the better. Somebody has likened it to, let's say you have an oak sapling that starts on your front lawn. And you think to yourself, I don't like that there. I don't like it there. But you know what? I don't want to deal with it right now. I'm going to put it off. So next summer, you look out there, there's that oak, and now it's bigger. And you say, I do not like it there. But I've got too many things to do. I'm going to let it go for right now. I'll deal with it later. Well, when's it easiest to deal with that sapling? When it's small. When it's small. If you allow it to get big, and that's usually what happens with conflict, we hope it'll go away. But usually, it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. And so, by the time you deal with it, now you've got so many people involved, and people are harboring bitterness and all these different things. Well, now it is so much harder to deal with. By the way, you'll see that in Christian family class as well. If you ignore things, don't talk about problems, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. Four, the principle of the here and now. I'm just going to use a Christian family illustration. Let's just say you're dealing with conflict, and there's been things from the past that have already been forgiven. They're over. But let's just say two of you in here are married, and you get into a discussion, there's some kind of conflict, and you go, you say to your spouse, well, there you go again. You do this all the time. Remember when you did this 5 years ago? And you start bringing up the past, and you start bringing up even things that are not connected with this conflict. You bring up things that were dealt with and forgiven. And no, you want to deal with the here and now. Here's the conflict that we're dealing with. That's what we need to work on. Number five, the principle of first agreement. The principle of first agreement. And that is simply, you start the discussion with what you agree on. Rather than starting with everything you disagree on, you could say, you know what?
Both of us can agree with this. We can agree with this. We can agree with this. We can agree with this.
This is what we can't agree with. We've got so much we do agree on. Doesn't that start the conversation on a much better note? Rather than saying, let's start this conversation by talking about all the things we disagree on. Well, that sets the stage for a bad meeting. Start with what you agree on. And for those that are OCD, we're going to stop right there. And we'll do number 6 on Tuesday.